Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be here in the studio with my beloved sister, Tara. We are in the book of Acts doing the Bible study Tell It Well, which is birthed from Tara. And no more births physically, but birth visions.
Mentally.
That's right.
Excruciatingly.
So we have been doing a chapter for 4 weeks, yeah. Basically. We've made it all the way to chapter 6.
We have. That means we're on our 6th month of doing Tell It Well.
Wow.
Doesn't that seem crazy? It just seems like we just started it. I was surprised when I was looking to see where we needed to be. I thought, are you kidding me? We've already gone on to our 6th month.
I know you guys feel like time never stops. It doesn't.
it just keeps moving. There's so many things that happen and fill up our time. And we're really excited because Tell It Well is now available, the first book, on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and you can either search Tara Rye or you could search Tell It Well. And the first book in the series is available. It's called Tell It Well, To Do and To Teach as Jesus Did. The second book will be out here in a couple of months. And it's called Tell It Well 2, The Ripple Effect Continues. Tell It Well 1 is books 1 through 7, I mean chapters, excuse me, 1 through 7, and Tell It Well 2 is chapters 8 through 12. And it's divided 7 and 5 chapters. I know that seems kind of odd, but the way that the story falls, it's best to end at the end of chapter 7 and then pick up with 5 and finish up at 12. And I couldn't have them all together because it was too much. Yeah. It would have been huge.
It looks beautiful too, by the way.
Yay, thanks. That's actually a picture I took, a photo I captured out at the Glass Church here in Omaha, Nebraska, mm-hmm. off of I-80.
It's a beautiful church.
It is a beautiful church. And they have this incredible fountain mm-hmm. that when you first walk in that has this metal structure that drips water down into a pond of water with stones underneath. And that's what the photo is. But when you watch how it drips, it creates just perfect ripples. And I took a photo long time ago. This was long before I ever planned to write this study. And it just captured my heart because, to me, it represented what we're supposed to do in Christ. Mm. And the fountain actually is supposed to represent the Holy Spirit and His movement in our lives, the way that the architect created it. Just really cool symbolism. And I enjoyed it. Okay, so what we're going to do... last week we did Acts 5, and if we remember, Acts 5 had the story of Ananias and Sapphira, which is where we spent most of our time mm-hmm. last month focusing. And today, what we're going to see is, I when I taught this at Westside, I was joking with the women, we're going to see the choosing of the 7. And I almost could hear the movie theme going, wah, 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 you know, the 7. I mean, it just seems kind of like something that our world would make a movie about,
yeah,
is the 7.
Choosing of the 7.
Yeah. And that's what this particular chapter is going to be about. But we will also be introduced to Stephen, mm-hmm. who will be very key next month in particular. But, you know, it gives us an idea about some of the men that were chosen. And so when God introduces us to a person or gives us insight into a place or a circumstance, there's a reason why it's there. And so I want you to keep that in mind as I story through this chapter. Okay, in Acts 6, here's how it goes in my own words. Okay, the numbers of the disciples were increasing, and the Grecian Jews were beginning to complain amongst themselves. They were kind of frustrated and irritated with the Jews because they realized that their widows were not being kind of taken care of at the tables where they did the serving. And so they went to the 12 and they said, you know, our widows are not being taken care of. And the apostles listened to what they said, and it said, okay, let's think about this. And they go, well, it wouldn't be right for us to neglect prayer and the teaching of God's word. So let's choose 7 men that are full of the Spirit and full of wisdom that we can hand this responsibility over to, that these are men that we could give it to. And as the group was listening, they thought that this was a good idea. And the disciples had told them, this way we can keep focused where we need to be focused on prayer and the ministry of the word. And so as the group agreed, they decided on the men. And right there, the apostles chose them. And Stephen was a man that they described him as full of grace and full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then there were also other men, Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas. And Nicholas, we're actually told where he is from. And we're told he is from Antioch and that he was actually a convert. He was a Gentile who had become a Jew. And as they presented the men before the group went up to them and they laid hands on them and they prayed over them and then they presented them and they started to do that act of service and took that responsibility over. Well, as this happened, an amazing thing started to occur. The word of God increased. Mm. And it increased in such a way that the number of people who were disciples began to increase, but not just in the disciples, amongst the disciples, the priests started to believe and walk in obedience, and that was huge. Mm. It was huge. So as Stephen was going out and doing the things and doing the ministry, taking on responsibility, it was evident to everybody that he was full of grace and full of power. And they were just amazed by the things that he was able to do. They could see great signs, great wonders. It was just incredible. And there was a group of freedmen. They were people who used to be slaves that were watching, and they didn't like what he was doing. And they began to stir up trouble against Stephen. And as they began to stir up trouble, they went out and actually secretly started persuading people against them. They started saying that, you know, this man is speaking against Moses. This man is speaking against God. They started taking his words and turning them around. Mm. And they actually took him before the Sanhedrin, and they hired people to lie about Stephen. I mean, they literally had false witnesses stand up and accuse him before the Sanhedrin. And they even went so far as to say that he had said that Jesus would destroy the place, the temple. I mean, they were as if he was blaspheming the temple. And as the Sanhedrin were standing there and watching what was going on with Stephen, they were just amazed. Because as they were watching him, his face shined like an angel. Now, the passage ends here. But this is actually just as a part of a much of chapter 7 story. But we're going to save the ending of what happens in chapter 7 because chapter 7 is the longest chapter in the book of Acts. So we won't even continue on Stephen's story until next month. We're just going to stay focused right here on what happened with the choosing of the seven and then the attack on Stephen's character. Mm-hmm. And we'll focus in there. Now, as I read through that, Sabrina, did you have anything that just kind of like came to your mind that stood out as you were listening?
Well, I just loved that in verse, when they prayed over him and then the obedience of the priests.
Yeah.
I just love like, okay, the word of God spread. Yeah. The word is alive. It's true. It increased.
It did.
Because there was understanding and now there became obedience and faith. And then they talked about, I mean, through that, and then they mention a man that's living that.
It's so cool.
You know, with Stephen and his, and being full of grace and power. And it's like, okay, this is what's going to happen. And here's a testimony of what happens when you are filled with that.
Yeah. This is what it's going to look like. Right. It's an amazing thing. Sabrina introduced this session and told you that we're going to look at how a walk of authenticity, somebody who really wants to tell it well, we're going to look at how the word of God will increase through this. And all of the commentators, if you go in and you read about Acts 6, talk about the fact that this chapter, though it is very short, I mean, what, it has only 15 verses? In 15 verses, we learn a lot about struggle. There are actually two samples of struggle that occur, two areas of conflict within this. The first conflict happens amongst the believers. We have the Grecian Jews and the Jews going against each other. Now, so we can understand who are the Grecian Jews. They believed that they were Hellenists. They were people who lived in other countries and had converted, and temporarily they are in Jerusalem. It's not a permanent thing that they are there dwelling, but they are there, and their widows are there and need care. And most likely, I read one commentator said, most likely what had happened is that it was very common and highly looked upon and greatly, I don't know, like a social or a cultural thing for a man when he was getting close to his old age to say, to be able to have his family say, and he died in Jerusalem. And a lot of times pilgrimages would be made to Jerusalem so that a person...
it was honor?
Yeah, could die in Jerusalem. And this commentator said that these widows then were left with no family because they had left their home to come to Jerusalem.
To die there.
And he or she has no one to take care of her. And a widow's predicament was pretty heavy in that time, in that if they did not have the family, the oldest son, there to take care of them, they would go without. And so that's most likely what has happened as to why there is this large number of Grecian widows, Hellenistic widows in the area, in the region. But the conflict happens first within the church and in this chapter. And then the second conflict that happens comes without. Now, I just want us to focus for a moment to see that there are always going to be two forms of conflict when it comes to the body of Christ. Within the body of Christ, conflict that comes from within the body, as in brothers and sisters at battle with one another, it is very bad. It causes church splits. It causes a breaking of the testimony, ineffectiveness with how we are able to communicate the Word of God. However, throughout church history, whenever the conflict has come from without the church, outside the church has actually grown. And so how we handle conflict when it is within is crucial in guarding and protecting the testimony of the body of Christ. And, you know, we have been talking this entire 5 months as we've been going through this, that the two ways that the enemy will attack, whether it's the in the flesh, this the enemy of God, me and Satan, or in the world, it is an attack on the Word of God or the character of God.
Right.
If we as a body of believers allow inner struggle to happen within the body of Christ, it will be the character and the Word of God that will be affected. Okay? When the enemy comes from without and attacks the body of Christ, they're coming after us, and that's what causes us to bond, and that makes us stronger. And so here we have a biblical example of how the apostles handled an inner attack, and how an apostle, I mean, a disciple, excuse me, a disciple, Stephen, handled outer attack. Do you see how we have the example of the two? Now, what I love about the choosing of the seven, I really want us to look at this really close. It says that they came to them and they just presented their problem. The disciples, at this point it's the apostles. The apostles did not deny their complaint. They did not say, we can't help you, we're too busy. They didn't do that. They listened to the complaint. And then it tells us, I want us to look at verse, it says, verse 2, he says, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit of wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. They recognized the problem. They reasoned through it. They included the community and how they're reasoning through it. They showed the importance of accepting responsibility that you have been given and staying focused on the responsibility that you have been given, because they were commissioned by Jesus Christ to go make disciples of all nations. They were the ones to begin the spread. And so if they stopped and began to focus on serving the tables to make sure that a proper balance was happening, they would have actually been in disobedience to what they had been commanded to do and taking as a witness to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world. Mm. And so as they reasoned through this, they just presented it before the brethren, and it says they were all in agreement. You're right. And the cool thing is that when they took this and laid it before the group, and they ended up choosing seven men, and this is what's so cool. They said they have to be full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. But there is a third thing that is said that I think that it'd be real easy to miss. It says full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. But it says, and right before it says, who are known to be. So it's not just that they have full of the Spirit and they are full of wisdom. It means literally that everybody knows that they are full of wisdom and full of the Spirit. It is evident because they are already walking with integrity and authenticity in some kind of ministry-related capacity. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So these are men that have already stood out among the body of believers as people who are in pursuit of God things. And that is a really crucial thing for us as we consider and ponder appointments of somebody into a leadership position. It's not going to be somebody that hasn't already had a track record where you can't see that they have been acting and working full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the evidence had already been revealed. There was already a good testimony because their lives had revealed that to those there. And when they chose the seven, they didn't look out and say, okay, we're going to choose four Jews and three Hellenists, or four Hellenists and three Jews. It was the Hellenists that came that were concerned. They chose seven Hellenistic Jews. They didn't choose Jewish men. They were literally revealing to them, we believe in you and trust you so much because it has been known to us that you are men, evident, full of the Spirit, and full of wisdom, that we trust you even with our widows to do the right thing. Huge. Huge testimony. Huge testimony to the walk of the integrity of these men. Now, we want you to come back next week and dialogue with us as we go through, and we're going to examine what this walk of authenticity is going to look like as we go through this struggle and this conflict to see how we too can walk the same way as we go out and serve. We love sharing God's word with you. Thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.